because it's a get mu'usa kedin by Akum is only midrabanan, that it's not a get, we remain with the suffix, a suffix of rabanan v'hakel. How about the Rosh? The Rosh says that, the Rosh says that get mu'usa kedin al yedei Akum is possible with the adaisa. So how would the Rosh react? Or he would say that it's also, the get is not a get, but since here it's a sofik undana, because the undana that he's doing it only because of oneness is a sofik we really don't know, that does not prevail against his explicit statement that he wants to give her a get, he's even paying for it, giving a TS cop, and therefore she can go free. That would ordinarily conclude the Rambam, but he goes one step further to conclude our problem. He goes one step further to show that the Rambam would agree to the get, even if he didn't hold that get Musa is also only the Rabbanan. It's possible only the Rabbanan. Why? Because on the Shaila, on the classical question of the central core of the Rosh, how do we know that Sufik Umdan is not Motzi? Is only Dvarim Shebalei because of the Shaila of this case of the Shchiv Meirah Hifkir of Hiktish, right? In that case, we say that there is an umdana that he wants to, he only meant it because he's a Shchiv Meirah, because he's dying, and there is a suffix, a suffix umdana, we see that, and with the Gemara says Teiku, that means it's a suffix, so the Rosh Paskin in that case, that it remains Hektish or Hefker, so you see a suffix umdana has no value. That was the case of the Rosh. The Rambam, however, says that it does prevail, and it's not Hektish and not Hefka, and that man can be Chozer. So from this point of view, the Rambam ought to hold that in our case, it's a Sufik Umdana. A Sufik Umdana, according to the Rambam, does prevail against an explicit statement, so it shouldn't be a get. So Rabbi Yitzchak Chana proceeds to show that it's not so. And here he has a very interesting, if rather sometimes subtle, distinction. His terminology, which is just a bit misleading, is that there's a difference between a suffix vidina and a suffix amitzias. It's a classical dichotomy, but it's not meant in the usual way. He says as follows. When you have a suffix, what is the umdana? But clearly there was an umdana that is universal. The real distinction is between universal and individual. Let me put it this way. By suffix vidini means as follows. If we're done in a case in which if there is an umdana, then it's patently for everybody in the world. Right? It's an umdana for everybody. Only shaila is there a suffix in the din? Is it go one way or another way? When there is a suffix in an umdana that's shayach for everybody, that's called Dvarim Shebalev Uvalev Kol Adam. Not only Dvarim Shebalev for me, but Dvarim Shebalev Uvalev, it's universal, it's objective, it's for everyone. In that case, you have a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam would say, where it's a suffix for everybody, then it prevails against an explicit statement. The Rosh, as we always said, as we said before, would hold that even if it's a Dvarim Shebalev Uvalev Kol Adam, so what? It has no value, it remains Dvarim Shebalev Ein Dvar. But there's another kind of suffix. Not a Sveka Dedina, not a suffix that goes for everybody, but a suffix for individuals. Only for an individual. That means the suffix is a Bemitzias or a Maisa. You cannot make judgments extrapolating universally, but this individual that comes before Bezin, we have a Shiloh with him. In the Mitzias of this man, this is a subjective question that we have to make a judgment. And when you have to make a subjective judgment, that's called Dvarim Shebalev, that Einam Dvarim Klal Achrit of Rambam. The Rambam will say as follows. When do I say that a Sufik Umdana is powerful enough to overcome an explicit statement or an explicit act? When it's universal, right? For instance, A Shchiv Meirah. Does it matter if Shchiv Meirah is Yankel or if it's Yossel? A Shchiv Meirah is a Shchiv Meirah. So it's a halacha which holds for everybody. There's no distinction. But in the case where you have to make a judgment about a specific individual who comes before you, such as the man who came before the Yisrael HaFanon, or before the Bezin that referred the case to him, And the first time he said he was an honest. The second time he says he's not an honest. Well, we have doubts about him. Is anything universal about this? If we're another man and another circumstance, we might have problems. If he didn't say it quite as loudly, if he didn't give a kiyas cup, if he didn't act the way he did, we wouldn't have any suffix. So you're done here on an individual. You're making no universal judgments that apply to everyone. In a case of this sort, the Rambam will be moda that a suffix undene is very weak indeed, and Dorim Shabalevin and Korim. And he brings proof from this, which I don't want to go into because it's just a bit too lengthy. So at any rate, the conclusion of the tshuva is, according to the Rosh, a suffix umdana is vorim shebelevin and vorim. Therefore, in the case here, the suffix umdana that he's doing it only because of onus does not prevail against the statement the woman can get remarried. He was matter the aguna. According to the Rambam, he has now two reasons to be matter. Number one, it's a suffix. And the Rabbanan, get Musa Kehai Ayyadei Akram Kedin is only Batel, not Pasul, it's only Midiyah Rabbanan, it's up to the one of the Hakel. And the other one is that the Rambam will be Maida, that although, you know, generally he holds Safik Umdana does have value, it is not Boran Shibulev, that's only when it's universal, when it's a Safik to Dina. The Din has a Safik. And if the Safik and Din, it doesn't apply to every individual. But here you're dealing with one individual. There's no speaker the dina involved. He'll be reminded that the sotik umdana has no power, and you believe the husband the second time, the get is a get, and he's not the aguda. That is the essential nature of this tshuva of the Yisrael Chana. What do you see from it? First of all, something that students have to learn all the time. Whenever you write something, you've got to be systematic. You've got to do things in order. You have to have a beginning and a middle and an end. Whether you're writing a tshuva, whether you're writing a drasha, whether you're painting something, whether you're writing a report for class, everything has to be done systematically. This is wonderfully systematic. And more important, the Bifur Khanan operates with a bias. He comes to the tshuva with a bias. He says so in the actual shayla. Malas Kreitzadasa Hischil Bekrecha de Hetera Bitvaram Nachon. When you get a Shaila Vaguna, or any Shaila that deals with the gut issues of life and death and quality of life in a very profound way, you begin with a bias. The bias is I have to find a Heter for this person. And he would like to be Mako, because the life and happiness of two people is at stake, as in every Aguna case. And to this, the Bifur Chanan dedicates his enormous halachic creativity. But this bias cannot be used whimsically or irreverently or foolishly. A bias does not in the least detract from his intellectual and halachic integrity. And therefore he has to be able to prove his case in a way that will be recognized by all gedolim and by all talmidei chachamim. His strategy, therefore, is to base the Heter on the Rosh and then on the Rambam, on both of them. But he doesn't fail to mention constantly, that's why the tshuva is a long one to which he refers again in his latest forum. He doesn't fail to mention challenges to his interpretation, especially his interpretation of the Rosh. Takes them up one by one, constantly testing his thesis to make sure that a Heter can be sustained objectively. So that, plus the icing on the cake, namely that even the Rambam would agree in this case for two reasons, is something that he keeps on testing. So the lesson to us, in addition to simply, you know, revering this individual, even now, 100 years later, feeling the impress of his influence upon all subsequent halacha and gedolei Yisrael, is to recognize that a psak halacha is never given in a vacuum. Not given in a vacuum. A posek is not a computer. You can't take your shaila, put it into a computer, and get an answer. It doesn't work that way. A posek paskens not only because of his memory, but also because of his personality, because of hashkafas ha'olam, because he is a representative of Torah when it comes to these things, when it comes to shailas of individual people. And he has to do it in a way that will reflect the Drachei HaDachei Noam of Torah. There are times that the halacha itself encourages a bias for chumrah, and there are times that the halacha encourages a bias for kula, such as in the laws of Avelis, or a general principle of kocha de hetera adar. In either case, it's not a whim. Never is it a whim of the posek. It's rather the whole derech of the Torah itself. And at all times it has to follow very strict halachic procedures, which nevertheless allow the posek to exercise his necessary creativity. What you have here basically is this. On the one hand, your total commitment to the objectivity of the halacha. This is emes, Torah's emes, ha'yisavatiyu. On the other hand, the recognition of the conditions, the context in which you pasken, and that's a matter of d'vacher d'achei noham v'chol nisivoseh shalom. It's a reconciliation of emes on one side and shalom on the other side. And this really is the way G'dolei Yisrael have always pasken. It's a fulfillment of the nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who said while he was still in prison, Hineni ma'ala ala rucha marpe, I'm going to give a refuah for Klal Yisrael, u'refuah esim, I will heal them, v'gileiti lehem maseret shalom v'yames. Now we'll reveal to them the beauty of truth and peace, shalom and emes. V'hashivoshi eshvus Yehuda, the Eshvus Yisrael, uvinisim kavarishona, and I will return the exiles of Yehuda of Yisrael and rebuild that Eretz Yisrael, Nam Yisrael, kavarishona.